Of God's people, and He chose me and gave me this opportunity. There was there was something on Facebook earlier this week that a friend of mine had posted, and I won't get the quote exact, but you'll get the gist of it. It's by Charles Spurgeon, and it basically said, don't be offended when people think badly of you, because you're worse than they think you are. And, well, there's a lot of truth in that. In fact, I was trying to remember the scripture, and maybe someone can find it and put it up there. That I think it says something about not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. And just as we were singing that song about how worthy he is, you know, all I could think about is, in comparison, how unworthy I am. I am worse than most people. I'm worse than I think I am. I'm quite sure of that. You know, we do think of ourselves more highly than we ought. There it is. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that's, you know, that's what was going over in my mind as we're singing that. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get, especially if you've lived what you think of as a good life, you know. there's people out there that struggle with not thinking as highly of themselves as they probably should. They have a lot of very low self-worth, but I'm not one of those. I know. I don't have that problem. But we, you know, we do tend, if we feel like we're doing pretty good and we're, you know, living a good life, we compare ourselves to what's around us and feel like we're doing pretty good. And God says, don't do that. You're not as good as you think you are. And he loves us so much that he will take opportunities to show us. And I got one of those this week. And but it reminds me, just as that song was saying, you know, that, and sometimes it's in other people's eyes, it's maybe not in God's eyes, you know, it's not necessarily, but either way, it's all to serve a purpose and to remind me how unworthy I am. But if I will allow him in, and he is so worthy, then he will make up the difference, and I can be what he wants me to be. If I let that work through me. There was another little saying on Facebook. It has, it's good. It really, it's got some good things if you can pick them out. But I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, but something about people who don't live what they believe, then that's dishonest. You know, if you say you believe something but you don't live it, then you're being dishonest, because you're not really believing it, or you'd be living it. And I thought, how true, you know, that it's easy to say, you know, I believe this, I believe that, you know, but get right down to where the rubber meets the road and you find yourself in a situation where that becomes difficult, and how will you live it? How will you live it? And that's what I want to focus on, and just remind myself that I know I'm not as, you know, not as good as I might occasionally think I am, but I can be worthy. I can be what I need to be if I let him work through me, and if I will live what I claim to believe, and I can find that rest, Brother Smith. I can rest in knowing that I am in his will as much as I can be, and that he's working and will eventually make me worthy to be his child. And that's what I want to be.
Good words. Thank you. good to be here today and listen to Sister Lynette talk about, you know, worth, and, you know, we can have self-worth, and that's what we have to be careful with, is to not, you know, in our own eyes, you know, our self-worth is, we don't want to see that in our own eyes. You know, we have to, although it may become critical things that people say, but that's how, that's basically what we are. You know, like she's saying that, you know, in my eyes, every man is right in his own eyes, so you have to consider what people think of you, what people say about you. So you have to consider that, because that may be a lot of truth in that. So anyway, it's good to be among a people that, you know, you hear things from so many different angles. I appreciate about this people. You know, they get you thinking and get you, you're thinking about different things. You know, you don't want to get in a rut and thinking, you know, one way, but I think we hear it from all sides, and you get an opportunity to you know, think about things and consider. And I appreciate that about this. You get out in a place where people think they have lived a good enough life to where they're just kind of waiting on the rapture, or waiting on heaven. They got everything all just set, you know. And you feel for people like that, because we know that that's not true. And we know that I'm in a place where you get you thinking about things, you know. Have you, you know, we need to think about things. We need to not ever just get rest in our own laurels. You know, we have to look around. I mean, just naturally in life, you know, I get into a rut just driving sometimes, you know, just get used to going the same way all the time, same, you know, and you need to change up. You need to get a different perspective and things. One time we was on our way to somewhere, some church, I might have been Russellville or some meeting, and I was driving a church van, and I turned on the street, and they said, "Why are you turning on that street?" I was on my way to work. You know, that's the way I went to work every day. And it was just a habit. Before I even thought about it, I was going that way. And they said, "Why are you going that way?" Well, that's where I went. That's where I go every day to work. Anyway, my mind that was already set. So anyway, I don't want to just get set in things in life. I want to be able to be in a perspective. What that word, the circumspectly, that you just, you know, you need to consider. Look around. See what's going on. You know, you don't want to get your mind in a perspective where that Brother Linker used a word, a paradigm, I think the word he used. You know, it's you don't want to, you know, we need to consider things. Consider God especially, you know. But anyway, we was blessed to go to this camp meeting this year, and I'm so thankful and just humble just to even be among God's people and to hear all these good, wonderful spirit, you know, and good words. Of course, one of the brothers from Brother Finnicum Church, young man, talked on passing the baton. You know, he used the illustration of a relay race. And he was saying that the most important part of this race is not, you know, they talk about the fastest man or woman, whoever, is the man to start first, or the one on the last, the man to bring the baton in home. And the two in the middle, they're mediocre runners. But the whole team is important, not just, you know, you said the first man is the most important or the last man. But he said the most important of all is the passing of the baton. You know, if you mess up there, then it's over. You know, he gave an example of Olympic race at the United States. You know, they had the best runners, and they was, you know, they run against Canada, and these guys, you know, they, you know, it was just it. You know, they got the gold, you know, supposedly. But they messed up when they started passing the baton. They didn't hand it off right, so they lost it. But anyway, he used it. I don't know when it was, what year it was, but anyway, he used that. And I was just thinking that the meeting, you know, normally Brother Mays, you make the announcements, he opens the service and do all the, I don't know, the opening things that go on, the morning prayer meeting and all. But Brother Jason Day, they use him, you know, a young man. That's what this brother was talking about, the younger generation. You know, when he said pass the baton, he was talking about passing, you know, leadership in one sense, you know, And that was one example of it, I thought. You know, and I mean, they didn't do that just because of his message, but that was his message. But anyway, that's something that did happen in this meeting. You know, they used Brother Jason Days all the way through the meeting. He did a good job, and he really, done well. I'm sure he was nervous, but anyway, he did well. And I just noticed that. And, you know, I want to notice things. I want to pay attention to what's going on. And it is a time frame that we're living in. And I noticed Brother Sharber, he talked late on, maybe the third day, and he was saying, hold on just a minute here. You know, we're not going to. Our older brothers are very important to us, and we don't want to move too fastly. He was just kind of, in light of this passing the baton and all this, you know, passing the torch, he was saying, well, let's not be too quickly about this. So anyway, I enjoyed what he was saying about it, that's going to happen, but let's not, you know, rush it here now. Because these men are important. You know, these men have carried this gospel, you know, and they went back to Brother Sider today, first day service, Brother Wright. You know, Brother, I thought about him this morning, Brother Smith, talking about judgment, white throne judgment, and he talked on judgment. Of course, some of his message, I think, Brother Smith was talking about, let's not put this off. You know, he was saying, you know, judgment. There is judgment that's, we're being judged all right now, you know, what he's saying. You know, let's not wait thinking, you know, once we get to stand before God at the white throne, well, not before God, before the church, white throne judgment, then that's when we're going to be judged. But we're actually being judged now is what he's saying. And that's true. But he also threw that in, you know, about put things off. So I caught that too. But anyway, we are, you know, we're being judged, you know. Our choices that we make is how we're being judged. You know, when we live, the decisions that we make, you know, is gonna judge us. You know, it's gonna cause us to be judged. And I really appreciate what he was saying along that line. He had good spirit. And the spirit people responded to his message real well. Of course, then Brother Des Moines, Brother Goodwin. Talked on eight steps of how you leave church, and you know I didn't write them all down, but anyway he talked about eight steps, and he did well on that. You know how a person leave church, and you know the first step, I can remember that real well. He used the word autonomous, which is independent spirit, you know, I didn't write them all down. Being critical. I don't want to give them all, but anyway, it was very good, and very, like I say, it seemed like the messages, I mean, you know, they were so supportive. I mean, it seemed like the people was just, I don't know, like they were just ready to hear things from the Lord, and it just so supportive and so uplifting, and it wasn't, you know, like a dull moment. It was not no dull time. I mean, just refreshing. And the moods of the spirit were just outstanding. Just, you know, like during the daytime and night. Of course, like the second night, Tuesday night, I believe, Brother Adams in Benton Harbor, when he gave that testimony about being free, they, you know, diagnosed him to be free of cancer. You know, he had that free of leukemia. Is that leukemia one he had? But anyway, he gave a lot of his testimony, you know, how he came to the body and all the different things in his life, how he lived before he got saved, got with God. It just was so uplifting. I mean, just so. And he was going to sing this song. I thought he was singing it, but it wasn't him singing. It was the one he sang all the time. I'm trying to get it. Huh? Yeah, that's it. He was going to sing this song, and we're building a wall. I cannot come down. But anyway, he was, I thought that was him, but it wasn't him singing it. It was the young folks singing his song. But he was going to, but they, he was so caught up. I mean, when he began to just talk about, you know, being healed, you know, from cancer, you know. I mean, it just, people just got, everybody's hands was up, you know. I couldn't see where he was. I couldn't even see him. But anyway, and they start singing this song, "We're Building a Wall." You know, I mean, it just went up in an uproar. I mean, it just, like I say, I thought he was singing, but he wasn't. But there was some young folks at the piano was singing this. But that's what he wanted to sing, but he didn't get to sing it. They sang it for him. But it was just so uplifting. I mean, of course, that was that night. That was it. You know, I mean, I know it wasn't the end of it, but it just went on for an hour or so, you know, and that was a very good, uplifting spirit. And then, of course, the next day, which like Wednesday, you know, that's offering day, but it's still, I enjoyed Brother Wickerson. He talked on the 15th chapter of Corinthians. It was like 4 points in that he brought out, and about God's, you know, people, Israel, and how and it's wording in there like praise the Lord with his people. I'm trying to remember how that was stated. But what he was pointing out is that, you know, God's people, Israel, the nation of Israel, was not the only, you know, God did have a people, but he had the Gentiles in mind along with his people. And he used his scriptures and his 4 points statements, he said, were made in that scripture. And he went to talking and preaching. And before it was over with, he was saying, since he mentioned the nations, okay. And in that meeting, we had people there from, I wrote them down. It was like, what was it? Dominican Republic. I know you talked to the couple. It was a couple there from Dominican Republic that they said I talked to him, and they had an interpreter. He didn't speak English, so anyway, it was an interpreter. And he said, "Where are we talking about Smith, Brother Elias?" He talked to Brother Elias and Brother Smith. So anyway, he mentioned it was Dominican Republic, Haiti, Ecuador, Honduras, Argentina. Who else was it? The Philippines. And it was, I believe, all these people at a point said something. You know, they didn't talk that long, but they talked in this meeting of each one of these countries. And that he didn't mention Canada and the Bahamas, but they were there as well. But anyway, he had all these people to praise God. Each one of these said, "Praise God from the Argentina." It was one man out of Argentina. But anyway, he had everybody. I mean, it was just such a, you know, a witness to what he was saying, you know. And it had such a wide representation of these countries here. Africa, I forgot about Africa. It was some people there. Mexico. You know, with the group. It was a nice group there from Mexico. Of course, the most, and Haitian. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. There were so many Haitian churches. I mean, it was, I guess if you think about, of course, they weren't all from Haiti, but they was Haitian Americans, but still they were Haitian. I mean, it was, and they, when they started praising God, it was over. So anyway, it was just beautiful. I mean, it was just absolutely, I mean, we were there for the morning, the prayer meeting, and it was just a sweet overcovering of the spirit, you know, just in the morning. I mean, they weren't just loud singing, it was just a sweet move of the spirit, you know, just in the, and it's something about praising God in the morning anyway. Just something about that. You know, before you eat anything, before you start your day, is begin to talk to the Lord in the morning. It's something about that. I'm just telling you, it's a blessing in that. It's to be able to, who that Brother Whitlow just talked about, meeting God in the morning. You know, when you begin to talk to him before you even, it is something to that. So anyway, it was, now that's just my take on this. This was, I don't remember, it's a lot. We were there for, 4 days, so I'm just skimming the top of it, you know, because we were there for 4 days, and it was rich 4 days, you know. I mean, it was just all unity, just outstanding unity, brothers, and Brother Sharber mentioned, he went to the New York meeting, I believe last year, and he mentioned that he was so overwhelmed. He was so blessed in going to that meeting. He going to the next one, Brother Smith. I don't know when the next New York meeting. September, okay. But he was so taken by this meeting in New York. And they just mentioned so many. I mean, it was really so, you know, I mean, he was up. I mean, he got caught up in the spirit. I mean, he was up talking. He just got out of it. I mean, he, you know, I don't know the man that well, but I kind of think that wasn't normal to him. I mean, I think that was unusual for him. But anyway, he got caught up. But anyway, God is good to us. And we are among God's people, and that's the good part about it. And I was thinking, you know, just this morning, he was talking about, you know, God's people, the new earth, and it's, when these people resurrect on the new earth, it's going to be all righteous people. These people that resurrect, the unjust people that resurrect, they're going to be, you know, seeing God's people. You know, everybody's going to be God's people. They're all going to be religious, righteous people. And I was thinking about just a drop in the bucket about it. But anyway, being up there on this hilltop, you know they don't allow, you know, drinking, smoking, none of that kind of stuff. So you just think, you know, you're among all these people. And none of that, you know, it may be somebody out in the car smoking, I don't know. But what you see visibly, you know, nobody's smoking, no drinking, no cursing. I mean it's a wonderful place. I mean, this is just in the natural. This is just in the natural, without even feeling the overpowering, you know, of the spirit, but just walking around on those grounds. I'm just telling you. I mean, I don't want to lift it up too high. I heard people say they making a shrine out of it. I'm sure that can happen, and that's not right either. But I'm just saying there's something special about it, and you can feel that. I mean, you can feel that. It's just, you know, people that are trying to serve God. And here it is. I mean, it's a lot of people. I don't know what the count was. This man said it was 50 less than it was last year. So it was a bunch of people there. I'll tell you that. You know, people mingling all over the place. I mean, just they did have some emergencies. Brother, he announced that there was like 4 ambulance calls or situations. And we didn't know it, but one of the calls was Brother Harrington of Russellville. He passed out. And they had to call an ambulance and take him to the hospital. But they just observed him overnight, that he got out the next day. But did you hear about that? Batesville, yes, sir. Brother, older brother Harrington, brother Troy Harrington's father. I think he passed out, and it was somebody, he was his low in, what was it, potassium and sodium or something. They just depleted. But anyway, we didn't know that. We found that out later, that it was him. One of those calls was him. And then some young man fell and broke his leg or something, and the call fell up down the stairs. But anyway, it just, you know, that's going to happen. You get a crowd that size, and it wasn't hot. It was pleasant. Actually, the weather was pleasant. We left here. It was raining Sunday, but we didn't have a lot. Had some rain up there. It wasn't bad. Now, I don't know if it ever got up to 80. If it got up to 80, it was the last day we was there. But anyway, it was pleasant weather. Pleasant atmosphere, so you can't go wrong with that. I mean, just great for what was going on there. You know, people talking to the Lord, and many prayer requests, a lot of people, a lot of sicknesses, and that's, you know, that's a bittersweet when you meet with people that, you know, a lot of them, you know, you've been knowing for years, and you hear things in their churches, and you know, it's a bittersweet thing you hear. You know, you hear about some good things happen, then you hear some not so good. So that's not, you don't care to hear that. But anyway, that's the way it is. So it makes you have a heart to want to pray. We always should have a heart to pray, you know, for God's people and their needs. And we all live in a time that we have needs. And I was thinking about Brother and Sister Smith, you know, them taking care of mother. There's a lady called. She called twice while I was gone. The lady I used to work with. And, of course, she's a talker. So I told my wife, well, when I call, I'm going to call her back, but I'll make sure I'm finished with everything I need to do because she's going to be on the phone. But anyway, I did call her back. And it's, every time we have changes since I retired and our insurance and different things, she always called me and asked me about it, you know. So anyway, she called me, and her mother is a 90. I think she's 91. And she's been taken care of. She's, you know, a little dementia, and she's been having to deal with that for a year. She just wore out. They finally ended up putting her in a assistant living place. You know, they put some of her furniture in there to kind of make her feel more at home. But anyway, my heart, you know, goes out to them. And like Sister Smith, you know, taking care of his mom. And that's difficult. It's very difficult, and my heart goes out to them, and you know, want to help them as much as they can. You know, I mean, as much as it lies within them to do what they can. You know, you can't. You know, when you get up in age, it's just difficult. You know, especially you know, you're somebody that raised you. You know, when like you think about yourself when you couldn't even tie your shoes or couldn't even eat. You know, somebody that raised you, then all of a sudden you having to take care of them. That took care of you at one time in life. That's the way I look at it, you know. So you can't just, you have to do all you can. You have to be understanding. You have to be, you have to do, you can't, you know, you can't be mean to them. Look, these are people that took care of you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So when you begin to think about taking care of somebody that's responsible for you being here, you got to have the right attitude. You know what I'm saying? You just got to have the right attitude. I take my hat off to anybody that's caregiving. That's helping people. And there's a need. There's a great need. And I'm just thankful. When I heard her tell about that, I just thought about the Smiths. And I thought, Lord, help them. You know, Lord, help them. So anyway, we'll probably need to pray anyway for God's people. I'm sure there are a lot of things we need to pray about. There are a lot of needs. And Brother Daniels, I don't hear all of what he was saying, but he needs prayer.
Yeah, Brother Daniels had a procedure this week, and he's not finished yet, so he really needs our prayer. They put a drainage tube in him to get some of the blockage that he's got in his kidney system. And he's gonna have to, you know, of course that's gonna have to heal up. He's got to get through that. So let's be praying. He'll know more about it Monday or Tuesday when he sees the doctors. Also, my mother she had this fall, and she didn't have any broken bones. Thank the Lord for that. But she was bruised and bunged up. But I don't know if that's what affected her, but we've had a few days that she's just completely out of her mind. I mean, she's talking like 90 miles an hour for 18, 20 hours a day without stopping. Just in a room by herself, just talking, not making any sense. And sometimes she's making all kind of sense of years ago, you know, 50 years ago or something. And then, you know, But then the last couple of days she hadn't made any. It's just wore her completely out, and they was able to get some medication that would, you know, kind of knock her out. And so she's kind of been, since last night, we finally got her rested. She's really, I don't know what caused that, you know, but it's really hard on my wife to try to. I didn't get to make the meeting because of all this. She, you know, I couldn't just walk off and leave my wife in a situation like that. Plus she's having to work more because Sister Gail moved back to Springfield. So that's, we can't, you know, our business needs her, somebody, one of our hands on it right now. And so, anyway, pray for my mother and our situation there. You know, she's 93 years old. I know she's not going to live forever, but she was a faithful mother, and I just feel, you know, I've just felt that I should take care of her best I could. Sister, I mentioned this, I think, about a week ago. Sister, and I didn't know this, Brother Billy Brown's wife. She was talking to my wife at the convention center at the meeting in April last month, and she told her, she said, I know exactly, you know, what you're going through. She said, I took care of Billy's dad, and I didn't go to church for 3 years taking care of him. I couldn't make any service because he was so demanding. I couldn't leave him. That's why my mother, she'd been trying to crawl over the bed rails and scoot down, scoot out of bed, fall. She don't know she can't walk. And she tears her bed all to pieces and pulls the sheets off and all of her covers. And it's just a mess, you know. And see, we hadn't had this, you know. So anyway, we sure need your prayers on that. And then, let's see, who's sick today? Brother, Sister Donna Henderson is, Dylan's going back in this week, a couple days. And so she's spending some time with him today. And let's pray for Dylan and her. And I'm sure there's others here I'm not mentioning, but y'all help us out. Tell us what we need to pray about.
We need prayer, okay. Remember that. Need. All right. Grandma. Sister Sandra, remember?
Yeah, she had outpatient surgery. When was it, Brother Jerry? Friday? And she had it. She's in Tuesday. A sling. Tuesday, okay. But then she went to Oklahoma. They're having a family gathering in Oklahoma, and so brother came, got her, I think.
All right.
She's doing on the recovery side.
Okay. Oregon. That's related to Brother John, right?
She's John's sister.
Sister. Yeah, I was talking to a man at the meeting about it. Sister Cindy. Okay. Sister Ned looking for a job. Sister Cindy. Mike. I remember Mike. He's good to see, by the way. Back on the job. Good to see him back in the job. Praise the Lord. I hope he's better. Sister Julie. Your mom's sick today. Remember her. Remember that need. Natalie. Your mom? All right, remember her mom.
Brother and Sister Crow.
Brother and Sister Crow, yes. Let's remember them. Pray for them.
Karen
and the children, boys. Pray for them. All right.
The McPhee,
yeah, Brother John, he had a problem with his leg, so I don't know if he's still, I don't know. But anyway, let's pray for them.
And Sister Renata.
Renata, yes. Good to see you. Good to see her here. God bless you. That's it. All right. Anybody else? So let's take these, let's stand, take these needs to the Lord and ask that God will, you know, help his people and touch each need. Lord, we thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you, Lord. Know that you can help us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. We know that you have all power in your hand, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us to have faith in you, Lord. Believe it. Hallelujah, Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name, oh God. Oh, God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. blessed be your name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, oh God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
anyway, to act autonomously. Number two, he said, when they're trying to leave, they become offensive. Everything offends them. You can't do anything without them becoming offended. The person, you become offended if somebody walked by you and they're talking to somebody else and didn't stop and turn around and shake your hand. Or didn't pay any attention to you being there. And then become passive. Just whatever, however it goes, it goes. And the one Brother Talley was talking about before, they began to criticize everything. He said that they went into a restaurant and they saw someone from church, you know, and say, what you think about that message today? You know, I kind of, and if you say something like, oh, I thought it was wonderful. Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? And then it walk on off. You know, and he said to begin to criticize. Then number five, he said, they'll play politics. If anybody else is in the church disgruntled, that's the person that they'll be with and talk with and become buddy and pals with so they can have someone on their own level. And then he said, number six, he said, they're deceived by the devil. And he says, no matter what you believe about the devil, whether it's the person walking around or whether it's a carnal, we're not talking about the devil right now. He says, but they become deceived by the devil. And then they'll become even more misled with all the other things that's before the other six things that he had named off. And they all become the working together and become more than ever, closer to the door, closer to walking out. He said, number seven, he said, then they'll just break out into open rebellion. The pastor says, go left, they'll go right. If he says, pick up the paper, they'll throw some more down. You know, just something excessive. They become rebellious to what's going on in the church, trying to work against the things that's going on. He said, and finally, when they've done all those things, you can bet they're going to leave. He said, leaving does not happen suddenly. It builds up over a period of time. It might take years, all these things to work into a person's life. But he says, before they leave, all these things will happen. He said, there are always consequences. If you ever get them to come back, if they ever come back, those scars are always going to be there. They're going to always have consequences. He says, the main point is just don't leave. The time to make a decision is before it is time to make a decision. He elaborated on that, you know, about, you know, you've got to have in your mind that I am not going to backslide. Before any of these things start working in this, if you become offensive, if you become passive, if you begin to criticize, you'll check yourself. And all these things won't work together to for you to leave because you've already made your decision. I will never leave this way. And he was talking about that the meeting was so smooth altogether as a whole. You know, like, for instance, there's a brother that gets up and he gets to a certain point and he got up and he was going to bring up this devil subject that they had discussed in Jacksonville. And he was laying out his points, he put out his scriptures, and he said that he was told that you shouldn't talk on this until everybody's talked about it. They've talked on it, now it's time to talk on it. The meeting was so smooth, Brother Dave's got up at the point where they normally would have seated him down. Brother Dave's got up and hugged the brother and said, we've got a special prayer. It's an urgent prayer that we need to pray right now, brother, and ask him to let him pray and whisper something in his ear, you know, whisper something to this brother. And his brother got his Bible, took it, and went and sat down. And they began to pray for this urgent request that Brother Dave said needs to be prayed on right now. And the Spirit just broke out in prayer. I mean, in fact, the entire meeting, the 8 o'clock services in the morning, so normally how they have preaching and testimonies and so on, was mostly prayer. I mean, people kneeling down on their knees for I don't know how long, or sitting down in the seats, kneeling down, or raising their hands in just a song, as Brother Tyler was saying. It was just a prayerful meeting. But Brother Dave began to pray, and the whole church began to break out in prayer, and this brother sat down, didn't say anything else. And Brother Dave, when they finished the prayer and finally sat down, he said, well, don't we have a good song over there? Anybody got a good song going on? And nobody. It wasn't anything obvious how this brother got set out. I noticed it, of course, because I'm used to it. But anyway, it was just so smooth. The entire meeting, you know, and Brother Taylor was talking about Brother Sharper. I've heard Brother Sharper talk before, and he has made a good talk. But he got to dancing without the music, and there was no singing going on. Brother Sharp, I ain't never seen Brother Sharp having the dancing. I've seen him talk a few times. I don't know him real well, but it wasn't the refined, quiet, methodical, you know, very graceful talk, like Brother Dyker's talk, you know, and Brother Moore. Brother Moore, I've seen get loose before. And he was very, very good as well. But Brother Sharma was different. He said, was Brother Sharma or was it that other brother that said he's going to take Brother Adam's message when he gets home? And for one service, everybody at church that night was going to be Brother Adam's night because everybody was going to get to hear that message. He was so impressed by the spirit that Brother Adams brought in. And it was outstanding. Every one of the services. I mean, you know how you can go and then there are lulls and places. This particular camp meeting wasn't like any I have ever been to. The blessings of God was throughout the whole meeting. The prayerful togetherness work. And what that one brother got up and said, I can't remember which one it was, he said that there wasn't a campground group there. There wasn't convention brothers there. There wasn't, and he named out some other groups, you know, there. He said, this is the body of Jesus Christ. This is how it was in the day. And he went on back to Brother Sider's day and how when they were together and how it's not, we are trying to get together. He said, this is together. And it was just overall the entire meeting of togetherness, and a prayerful meeting. It was really a blessing throughout the whole services, each and every service that we got to go to, and I thank the Lord that we were able to get there.
Anyway, I was just saying that Sister Weininger handed this over to me when Brother Daly was talking about passing the baton. But, you know, I was thinking about after coming back from such an extraordinary meeting like we had, the songs that we started off, Raising My Hands to You, was so appropriate. And you're so worthy, Lord, because He truly is. And then, of course, you know, touching Jesus is all that matters. And really, once you get to that place and you're touched by Him, you know, then your life really is changed. I remember when I was younger, the boys were little, and God was dealing with me so much. And I remember just praying, you know. And I remember right when I broke through that yoke, you know, it's life-changing. And you never really will be the same. But anyway, I took so many notes, y'all, because I really can't remember having the desire to take notes so much as when I first came in and Brother Liniger, when he was alive. It's like I wanted to write every word down, you know, so I could just memorize it. And that's the feeling that I had in this meeting. I mean, from the time we left the parking lot until Amber came and picked us up in Lone Oak. I mean, the whole trip, every single thing was so blessed. We even got put on the floor with smokers, a smoker room. But, I mean, to me, the hotel did all they could do, you know, to help the situation. And really, you know what? It didn't bother me. It did not bother me at all. Everything, every single thing that was through the whole meeting was just so outstanding. And the first night, you know, like Brother Tally talked about passing the baton, and Brother Jason Daves, I think he's kind of stepped up to take Brother Dave's place, and he did a really good job. And Brother Daves, you know, he also got up though, but Brother Gary Wright, he gave an outstanding talk, and, you know, and it's just kind of like it built. It just built one talk after the next. I mean, you know, it's like, don't go to the bathroom. Don't move. And also another thing that so impressed me was when we got there, we kind of traffic was bad. I don't know what's happening. Every time we go to the campground, you sit on the freeway forever. But anyway, it happened again. So even though we left like a day early, we thought, you know, we were going to get there, be all refreshed and ready and everything. Well, no, we really got there the same time we would have if we would have left Monday morning. But anyway, we got up there, and I'm not kidding you, all the seats were taken, and me and Sister Tally, we looked everywhere, and there was nothing, and she sat down, and I just sat down, and we both decided, well, we're just going to have to wait until church service starts, and then the ushers are going to have to help us. And they had a huge, big tent set out over there behind the snack bar with like 300 chairs overflow. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to sit out there. And I said, you know, Lord, I said, this is the first time I didn't pray for a seat. I just took it for granted I would have one. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't think to pray about that. You know, and I said, is it too late for me to ask for a good seat now? And I'm not kidding you. After he said that, this young man started pulling tape off the back of a pew. And I was like, oh, God, you know, and you don't want to, you know, get too excited too fast, you know. And I went over there and I said, excuse me. I said, is this section right here? Is this available? And he's like, he just looked at me and he was like, yes. Well, here, just take the whole pew. And he pulled all the tape off it. And we got a whole pew. Like, I mean, and I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know. And the next morning, I found that young man, and I told him, I've been thinking about you all morning, you know. And the tape on it said Louisville Youth, and they actually had three pews taped off. And I want to tell you that those young people, they gave up their seats and went out to the tent for the older people to sit there. And there was a lot of youth that gave up their seats and they went out to the tent, you know, for the other people. And I so appreciate that. And, you know, like they said all through the meeting, we do have wonderful young people, you know. They just sought God with all their hearts. But anyway, so Brother Wright gave a really good message, and there was one place that I wanted to, and Brother Smith, this is something that you've been talking to us about, the 10 virgins, and I think it was Brother Wright who brought that up again, and he said, remember the 10 virgins, and he said, you know what, we're the 10 virgins. We're sitting out here already. All of us are out here. And he said, you know, some of them, the wise virgins, you know, they listened and they studied and they prayed and they're ready for the Lord. And the other ones, they just got busy. They just got busy doing other things. And then when the bridegroom, when it was time for the bridegroom, those foolish virgins, they knew enough to know that the bridegroom was getting ready. They knew that much. And then I always thought it was interesting what you talked about, the wise. They're like, we can't give you our oil. We can't give you, you know, our testimonies. And then he kind of like, you know, spoke even further. He said, well, the five wives there said, we're sorry, we can't give you a crash course. There's no time. We can't give you a crash course. And so, you know, that the one thing that, I mean, it's like in this meeting, you really, it was like a feeling like, you know, God loves us so much. I mean, he does. He loves us so much. And his mercy, Brother Wilkinson, he gave a definition of mercy, but it was like that feeling to know how truly in love God is with his people. I mean, there's not anything he won't do to save us. But then at the same time, you know, there's judgment. It's time to be accountable and do our part. And, you know, I guess it really all touched home with me because, you know, I've been married like 5 months now, and that's like a huge adjustment in my life. And I'm trying to, you know, compromise, get along, whatever. And it's not always so easy. And then, you know... And then, you know, like the year before that, you know, I was dating him, and somehow I guess your mind just gets distracted. And but, you know, my mom, she told me, you know, that he was a distraction to me because, you know, everything Joe was going through with Ashley and how that just was ripping my heart apart. And, you know, everybody should know I just absolutely adore Aaron, and it was just killing me. And so I do thank God for a distraction, you know, because I got through all that. Look, y'all, I'm alive. I'm still here. I made it. But Brother Wilkinson, and, you know, I can't even read, my eyes are so blurred. But anyway, he was talking about the Song of Moses. And, you know, the exile when they were marching out into the wilderness, and the song that he taught Moses, you know, so that they would just get it deep down in their heart, you know, for what all he'd done for them. And anyway, but the thing that really touched me was the song of praise, and that God... His mercy, and he gave a better description of mercy, and he said, because God, he has a stubborn love. He has a stubborn love. He has a steadfast, and he will hold on to you kind of love, and he will not give up. And I was, and he just, you know, he just went over that over and over and over, that, you know, how much God loves us, what he's willing to do. And, you know, it's like right then and there, I was like, oh, God, you are so awesome. Oh, I just love you, Lord, so much, even more. And you just get it down deep in your heart that, you know what, I am not going to give up. I am not going to give up. Because you know what? I want the Lord to win. I mean, he is so good to us. Just think about all that he, his patience. Oh, I know he is so patient with me. Sometimes I just wonder, you know, why am I here? And one of the ministers said, yeah, you know what? You're here not because of anything you've done. Not for anything you did, not for anything you didn't do. You know, just get that out of your mind. That's not why you're here. You're, you know, and, but just like, you know, Brother Smith has taught us, because he has a way, he had an avenue, a way to get to us and to speak to us, and that's why we're here. And, you know, and just thinking about, I don't understand how come, you know, like Michael's cousins, Clyde and Alan Quick, you know, two boys raised the same way, and why was it that one of them decided to stay and serve God and the other one just walk away at 18 years old, you know? I mean, we don't know, but I just thank God so much. I thank him for his mercy, for his goodness. I thank God for my grandparents, you know, when I was little. My mother told me when she was pregnant with me, we lived on the church grounds there in Phoenix. Brother Tate had taken over the church from Brother Sauter's. I guess y'all know that I'm from that restoration of Israel side, which I never could understand that message until I came here and I sat down and I heard Brother Lineker. And it was like, oh God, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. You know, and but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to the Lord. You know, how he was able to touch my heart. I'm so thankful that we have such a loving, merciful, patient God who loves us so much. You know, don't ever think anybody who's here walks through the doors by accident. There is no accident. God is all mindful, all knowing. And we're here for a purpose. And, you know, I want to be part of that person that fulfills his purpose. I want to be part of his people. I want to do my part. And just wanted to say how sorry for not getting up testifying. I don't think I've testified since we got married in Brother Wren's church. First of all, I don't like myself up there. I don't like to see myself. There you go. But anyway, I'm still thankful. We were not going to go to the meeting. We decided that I took the time off and, you know, to just use the money on whatever. And we were going to clean out his house. And I'm like, that is going to take a whole week if we work 24 hours all 7 days. Maybe we'll get through. And it was my idea. I told him, this is what we're doing. We got a job. You know, there's a responsibility and there's a job. Anyway, but at the very last minute, we decided to go, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful we ordered the tapes. Of course, we love to get copies, and, you know, because, you know what, this was a brand new notebook. And it's like 3/4 in notes, and I didn't get everything down. Because, you know, sometimes you have to just stop and just, like, bask in it and just, you know, think about what was said and just, you know, connect it in here. And sitting there, you know what, I got so blessed, and I didn't go through the prayer line not one time. Not one time. It looked dangerous down there, really, But I just got so blessed just sitting right there in my seat, you know, after the service would end, you know, and I would get up to go to the bathroom because I wouldn't leave my seat, and I'd just cry all the way to the bathroom, you know. I mean, it's so wonderful, and I'm so thankful that I went. I wouldn't trade anything for that service, and I can't wait to get the DVDs, tapes, CDs, whatever they're called, the round things. But, you know, I can't wait because I am going to go back through every single word again. It was that good. That good. And I want y'all to get copies because I don't want you to miss out. And also, I just wanted to say that on Brother Goodwin's message, you know, when he told us about the 8 steps to know when you're on your way out. And I'm not kidding you, every step he went through was so true, because I personally sat right here and I saw the same thing happen to some people. And he hit it on the nail one by one. Every single one was absolutely the truth. But he gave us that information, not just so we'll know when we're out the door, but, you know, when we see it in other people, what we can do to try to help and stop them, you know, because I don't want anybody here not to make it. And there's a ton of people still out there that I want to make it to. And, you know, how can you know something so good and, you know, not want to share it, kind of like a good recipe? I don't know why people have good recipes and they don't want to share it. But I'm so thankful to be here, Brother Smith. I'm so thankful to you and so Sister Smith and Brother and Sister Weiniger. I love you all so much. You just don't know. Brother Weiniger, I still think about when I first came in. When I first came in, you kept trying to get me to go out to eat with you. No, oh, no, 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 no. No, I'm good. No, thank you. And then finally, Grandma, when I had the privilege of taking Sister Nellie, Grandma Weiniger, back and forth to church, and how she would talk to me and, you know, tell me bad things about you when you were little so I wouldn't be so intimidated of you. But you know what? God is so good. You know what? No matter what it is, it's so amazing. He can fix anything, you know. But I love you all. y'all so much, and I'm just thankful, grateful, blessed. I love God with all my heart. Oh, my heart. And I'm so thankful for His mercy. Oh, His mercy is so wonderful. I love you all.
That's not a part of me. Everything that you already received, Brother and Sister Tally, my wife, they all got up and gave you what was heard. But what I got out of it, I got something from every one of them, and it was good. The meeting was very good. It was top of the line, what you could hear. They had a good monitor in the back. We was in the very back in the corner, but we was blessed. What everybody got up, Brother Adams, what he got up, he brought the house down. His message was good, and as Brother Tally and another one said, the baton, that was one good thing, and then the other one, hold on, let's hold on, we're still here. Some of us old folks are still here. Hold on, let's don't toss it too fast. Let's, Brother McGowan, Brother Paul McGowan back here said, we remember those days. But you had to hold on to what you had years ago. But, you know, the generation in front of us, you have to hand it on to the next generation. That was one thing that really stuck to my mind. The people that's, and it come to my mind when he was speaking of that, the next generation there at the campground, it goes on in every assembly, every church that's in the body of Christ. I thought of our next generation here, Brother Smith. We have next generations and everyone. I thought the ones here, right here, that under who's a pastor now, I thought who's the one that be handing the baton to here. And that's what was going through my mind while he was speaking. Then I got thinking of the other ones in other assemblies. And I was beginning to pray, Lord, let the baton carry on in each assembly, every place. Because the Lord, I was thinking, this body of Christ is still going to go on, and you know that was not all that was in that meeting. All of it was good. There was one that just tried to get up. They sort of maybe think of Brother Tucker when one brother got up. I think Sister Tally touched it. They grabbed him by the coattail. I mean physically, and I thought they come to me, Brother Paul. I mean just right there, and we had to pray for somebody. And I almost busted out laughing, but it was funny. But everything was good. If more than us four went, you missed it. But everybody got a blessing. If you didn't, they must have been. If they didn't get a blessing or a touch, they was outside doing something else. But we all got something good one way or another. And I was blessed to go with Brother and Sister Tally and my wife. She said something, my wife said something a while ago about being married 5 months and then going to a campground. My aunt, she got married with her husband, and within that week, they went to the camp meeting. And so it's sort of, I thought, you know, some people don't do that, but that's how serious they was about going to a Body of Christ meeting. And so I want to keep that same kind of spirit. I don't know where the Lord, I want to make sure I keep it right in my family. I want to make sure I keep it right in my heart, in my mind. And I want to keep it in the right spirit. My mind is carnal, but I want to replace it right. And now I have someone to help me in my home. And she helps me tremendously, but then I come to the church here. I need somebody to help me here, Brother Smith, and to guide me here. And that's where I depend on both family here, family at home, and bring me some meat. But then get out here and then give me some wine to wash it down. And I get blessed. Then I go to a meeting. I get something there. So I got something on the road. And that's where Brother Sister Tally, thank you for going. Let me go with you. Let me put it that way. Thank you for letting me go and getting something there. And I got something from other brethren, Brother Goodman, his message on the eight things right there. That was right there. Oh, that was right there. That was another excellent. So everybody, you we'll see if we can't get something, and maybe you get just a little bit of you, but you didn't get it lively.
Another thing I wanted to, I forgot to say that this year was the campground's 100-year anniversary, and they're making like a memorable historical volume thing, and they want everybody. Brother Dave said he doesn't care if you don't have any history with the body. If you're just coming in, he wants your testimonies. The deadline is July 30th, and it's going to be a really big heavy book. I wanted to give you this to Brother Smith so he can make copies, but to try to get this book together, I can't wait. I think it's going to be wonderful.
Praise the Lord. Well, I've enjoyed these good reports on the meeting, and I had several telephone calls, brethren calling me, even last night late I had some calls. I had several different the pastors call me and just giving me reports, and they knew why I wasn't there, but they was keeping me, you know, and I'd tell them, call me back and give me a report, you know. And it was all good reports. Everybody just gave a really high report on the meeting. And then I appreciate Brother and Sister Tally and Brother and Sister, I'm sure glad they went, Brother and Sister Crafton. And then their reports, you know, you could feel something in it. It, you know, we're, we're right now in Bible study, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews is a book written to the Hebrews back in the end of the Jewish world, possibly written by the Apostle Paul, or certainly some of the leading men back there, one of them. And it's written to restore their vision of the body of Christ. Of course, their danger was is to pull back to Judaism. That's not your danger today, but your danger is to pull back to traditional Christianity or religion. Or maybe just even fall out altogether. And we're not in the exact parallel, because back there they were under great persecution, and there was great persecution on the church and a great push to return to Judaism. Of course, we're not in that parallel time yet, but I am enjoying, you know, taking another look at the book of Hebrews, because it reassures and reestablishes the vision of the body of Christ, the new covenant that came through Jesus Christ. And when you go through that book, and we're not quite halfway through yet, but it establishes the fact that Jesus was chosen before the foundation of the world to come and redeem man from a fallen condition and make a way for eternal life. And the vision of this body, of what Jesus came and done, you know, I just thought while they all was giving your reports, I thought, I know the excitement that some of us, if you've been here long enough, you've been through times of excitement in the body where you just had to get to these meetings. I mean, you just wouldn't hardly miss. I mean, you know, you can't make every single one of them, things and situations in life, but I mean, you just do everything you could to make sure you could make all of them you could make, because it was so much excitement and God was doing so much. And it works that same way in assemblies. You know, assemblies, the body goes through things because we're going through a restoration process, and God takes us through times, but we can't live on a mountain all the time. You got to go through experiences. Every assembly has that. You know, this assembly certainly been, it's an older assembly in the body. Oh, it's had its ups and downs, and that'll continue. This assembly will hit places where there's great excitement. God will add, and then there will be purgings. There will be times that we go through things. We just have to, you know, we just have to endure to the end. That's what the Bible says that we have to do. And, all kinds of things happen. It can be, you know, whatever, you know, that causes us to go through these things. But we learn through experience. It's what the Bible says. We're justified by faith. And then we go through trials and temptations, and we learn by patience. And patience comes from experience. The different experiences we've gone through. I've just recently thought about different experiences I went through as a pastor. I was thinking about the men. By the way, men, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. We should have done more for you and made more mention of it to you. But I really appreciate the men in this assembly because they're good men. And right now, they're men that you can build with. I've experienced several things in my ministry. I've experienced when I've had men under my ministry that came in and, you know, had a desire to be a leader, and they go around the church and try to gain influence with people and try to build their little church inside my church, the church God put me over. Every minister has that. I've had that happen several times. Create problems, work iniquity. They get around, you know, they think they're doing God's will. They get around whispering in people's ears and tearing down things and telling what's wrong, especially if it's a discouraging time. And, you know, and if the church is going through a discouraging time, you can always work on it. You can always find the negative side, you know. But you have to, you know, every minister goes through that. You have to learn how to deal with that. Jesus said that. He said you'll take up serpents, but they won't hurt you. You have to get to a place where you can handle different kinds of things that goes on in an assembly. But when we have to learn through all that, and God helps us to hold on. Sometimes I tell people, I say, just hold on. Those exciting times will be back. Not that I don't think that we have all that, you know. I think we have good services now and good people, you know, good men. I was thinking, you know, what causes the baton to be passed is men that are willing to get on board with the leadership that now is. That's how it is in the body. You can find fault with the leadership that's in the body right now. You could always find fault with it. But people that get on board and are willing to work and labor and build and be a part of what God is doing right now, doesn't mean that you approve of everything. There's things that can be wrong that you don't approve of. But don't you know God's big enough to change those things? God's big enough to judge things and deal with things. And so if God hadn't judged it, then you better be careful about putting your hands and your mouth on it. You better be careful about that, you know. So, but I don't feel like we have that right now so much. I don't feel, you know, I mean, every assembly's got people on all different levels and all. But I was just thinking this morning how much I appreciated the men that are here that are working, you know, with one mind to build and to labor together. And no, don't seem like any of you brethren are trying to build your little church in here or try to, you know, come against anything, but you're just willing to work together to see the kingdom of heaven and our assembly go forward. And that's the kind of men that God will pass the baton to. He'll pass the baton because those same men are the kind of men that'll build in other men that'll come in to have the baton built to. They'll build in their spirit to have that kind of order, to work together and labor and work with the order God's gave us right now. Don't tear down. Don't have that kind of spirit to tear something down, but to have a spirit to build up and keep the flame going, you know, fan it, try to keep it going. Well, the body of Christ, I know there's days ahead that, you know, that I'm wondering what we're going to do with the campground. You know, what are we going to do? We can't seat everybody that's going. What are we going to do when it really gets exciting? And, we've got that dilemma right now. There's some people that would like for us to spend $5 or $10 million, which we can't do. We ain't got, ain't no way we can raise that kind of money to build a new tabernacle up there. There's other people said, don't tear this old tabernacle down. It's history. This is the nostalgia of the campground. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to have to get the mind of God of what to do before it's over with. Because I've talked to some of the other leaders, men in the body that are leaders. They don't know what to do. They said, we just have to get the mind of God before this is over with. But I appreciate getting reports of meetings like this where you feel that I got a feeling we're going to be feeling that old time feeling again. Remember that song? Yeah, well, I do have that feeling. I feel like it'll come back. Just hold steady. Hold yourself steady. And watch the Lord. Because just like this letter to the Hebrews was encouraging them and reassuring them that what your vision is the right vision. It's of God. And just my reading and going over it again, I was sitting out on the deck this morning drinking coffee and just kind of grazing through the book of Hebrews. I thought, God, this is such a blessing, this book, because it's encouraging me. It's reassuring to me. And I hadn't lost my vision of this. And one of these days we're going to look back through the whole history of it. I'm glad they're taking up, you know, want everybody's testimony. You know, that's going to be history. That'll be history. It'll be in the book of history someday. How you got here. How God planted you in this. And look, there's been people that's got discouraged. They went through things. They got shook out. There's little churches, little works around that's on the outskirts of this body. People get discouraged and they'll wind up on the outskirts of this, on the outer borders. We ought to all pray, God, give me the grace. Some way, give me the grace to hold on and stay in the, I'd like to stay in the center of what God's doing. I want to stay in the middle of the wheel. There's this branches out and it goes out, but you can get out. How many of you knows when you get on the outside of a, you ever rode a merry-go-round? If you get right in the inside on the merry-go-round, you can get it going fast, you can stay on. But if you get out on the outside of it, it's pretty hard to hang on if it gets to going too fast. So get in the middle of this as most you can. Stay in the center of God's will if you can, and ask God for the grace to do that. But anyway, I was encouraged today with these good reports. And I thought, Lord, you may be fixing to make a turn. We may be fixing to see God move in such a way that we're there's going to be great excitement again. We ought to pray that for our assembly here. God, give us new excitement. Give us some new people. It's so good to see Sister Renata and different ones that are coming in. I know different ones are probably visiting families and different things today. We got a lot of people out, but I'm glad for everyone that is here. And then, as new people come in, I've been thinking about this. If we're not careful, new people will come in and they'll fall through the cracks on us. You can't just come in here and get this unless God's really got you ready. But there's people in here, and you may be one of them, that can take someone that comes in and begin to hand feed them and begin to reach out to them and begin to spend some effort and some labor to help them get a vision of the body of Christ. This is not just any church. It's not just any place to go. It's not just another church around the corner that just teaches salvation through Jesus Christ. But God's touched us with a vision that reaches right down in the heart of what God's doing in the earth today. what he's doing today, what he has done, and what he's going to do. Hallelujah. And give you a vision. We sing that song. I still have a vision. Hallelujah. And God, I was just watching around today while the different ones, while these reports were being given. I was just watching people who were responding to them, that were hearing it and responding, and that it was touching them. I looked this whole room over to see who's paying attention, who's really hearing what these people are saying. Are you feeling the feeling that they got out of that meeting? I looked at everybody in this room to see, are you getting dull of hearing? Are you getting, you know, I'm just watching, seeing, saying, you know, who's clinging to these words, because it was refreshing and it was touching to our souls. So we've got good things to look forward to that the Lord's going to do in the future. I don't like all the experiences, but I want all of them that God puts us through. You know, I mean, I want to escape the ones that are unnecessary. I want to have enough wisdom that we don't have to go around the same mountain 40 years, you know, to get the lesson. God help us get our lessons. But if God brings us an experience, I want to go through it, and I want to get it. I want to get the wisdom of that experience that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. All right, we've got a meeting coming up next month, a youth meeting. And one of the things that concerns us every year is the air conditioning in the end of July. And Brother Boyd, we had a meeting with the department heads and workers for the youth meeting, and we asked Brother Boyd to get a hold of a guy that is his neighbor that rents air conditioning. And this guy rents portable air conditioning units. And we've reserved with him. He's got a 15-ton air conditioner that sets on a trailer that'll set right out here on the west side of this building. And we're going to take that window right there out and put a big duct in there that's going to blow out over this worship area, 15 tons of air conditioning that we're going to add to our air conditioning system. You know, it may be something that this guy even shared with us. He's a Christian, and he shared with us, you know, we thought, Brother Durham and I was talking, we thought, you know, 25 tons of air conditioning, how much we got. We thought that ought to be adequate to cool this room, 25 tons of air conditioning. But we had an air conditioned man come out and look our whole system over and everything, and he said, well, I can just tell you this. 25 tons of air conditioning will cool this building, you know, with 100 or maybe even 150 or 200 people in it. But 600 people, it's impossible for 25 tons to cool this, and especially in July. He said, there ain't no way you can do it with it. And of course, we know that, don't we? We've proved that, you know, we thought our duct, and of course, he did say you've got some duct problems. There's some things this man told us that made sense that I had never even thought about all of it. One of the things he told us was, he said, when you've got 600 people in here, don't ever turn those fans on. He said, because you probably have 90 to 100 degree temperature up there that you're going to be blowing back down and trying to air condition. He said, just leave the heat up there. You'll cool the building much better without trying to move that 90 and 100 degree heat off that ceiling and push it back down here to these people. Well, that kind of made sense. Then he said, these ducts up here that are high in the ceiling, he said, that's a bad place for that ductwork and those grills to be, because there ain't no way that cold air can blow through that hot air. He said, you know, when it's just y'all, it'd be easy. But he said, start looking in new buildings. You'll see all of their ductworks down in the low parts. Probably we'd cool much better if we could have had it put up in the floor, you know, to cold air down low. Anyway, those are just some things he told us to think about, which made some sense that I, you know, hadn't thought about necessarily. I'm not an air-conditioned man. But anyway, he did tell us. He said, I bought these trailers. He said, I've got several units, even bigger, 25. How much is his biggest trailer? 20 tons. He bought some of them used, and of course he rents them out. That's what he does. And but he said, y'all might look around, you know, you might even be able to buy one somewhere, since you have these meetings and you only need it temporarily. He said it would beat paying a bunch of money to add a lot of air conditioning to what will handle y'all all the time. Of course, it'd be good if we had 600 people all the time. We need to add, you know, but we could afford it if we had that many people. Of course, I don't know where we'd have a meeting, you know, where we wouldn't have any room for them. But anyway, until they get here, we'll keep having meetings and trying to bless the body of Christ, youth and ministers. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, the people in this assembly that's put forth and served the body of Christ so we could have these meetings is, you know, to be rewarded. And I know God does see that. He does reward his children. So I'm just thankful for all of you, and let's be praying for our meeting that's coming up and the youth in the body that'll come and be here. I've already had several calls about our meeting, people that are coming, and Brother Ugo called me from the meeting at the campground and said, you know, we got 15 or 20 coming to your meeting, and we just want to ahead of time let you know so you can fit us in somewhere. So I told him, all right, we want you to come. We're looking forward to it. Anyway, let's stand and give God a praise, and in service again tonight at 5 o'clock. Band practice tonight? No band? Practice, not band practice. Father's Day, so spend some time, take your dad out to Popeyes or somewhere. Unless you want to weather the storm of all the traffic you're going to have to fight to get in these restaurants today. It's going to be a little bit tough, I'm sure. I probably, if I'd talk another 30 minutes, it'd let some of that get, you know. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness. Good reports. Oh, God, we give you praise. Thank you for what you're doing. The work in the body of Christ, it's going forth. We're thankful for it, Lord. Thank you for this vision, oh, God. Bless each one. Bless these fathers. Oh, God, we pray. Amen, amen. All right, God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. See you at 5 o'clock. Yeah, you too, bro.